Yeah, this morning I'm talking about reconciliation, and I think the best place to begin is in the beginning, because in the beginning God created man and woman, and He did that to have a relationship with Him. I think what we all know is when God created man and woman, there was already relationship with Him. So man and woman already stood in a place where they had a relationship with God. They were able to hear God's voice. They were able to see God and to experience God for who He is. But I think something important that we need to realize, and yeah, maybe before I get there, I think something else that's important is that first picture of God with man, that's the will of God. That's what God wants. He wants a relationship with each of us. He wants to be able to dwell with us. He wants to be able to share His heart with us, to share certain things with us. He wants us to be in a place where we've got that relationship with Him, where we can really experience Him. Where God is not someone or something far away, somewhere in the heavens, but where God is someone that we've got a relationship with, someone that we can call Father. That's the will of God. But also God created us to have a free will. Now what that means is that each of us, you've got the opportunity to make certain choices. And that choices that you make will, there will be certain consequences of that choices. So we can choose to follow God or we can choose not to. And I think if we think about that, if we think about, okay, but I need to choose for God or against God, all of us will say, you're not going to choose against God. And something I think often that we forget is that not making a choice is also a choice. So not making a choice, just thinking by yourself, okay, I'm not ready for this thing yet. I'm not going to make a choice to follow Christ now. You're actually choosing not to follow Christ. You're choosing against Him. So everything is a choice with consequences. The word I'm going to share with you this morning, I shared at the men's camp, but I really felt I need to share it here this morning as well. Heinrich also asked me to share it at some other congregations as well, because he really feels it's a prophetic word for the church. And for me, of course, it's something very close to my heart, basically. So where I want to start off with this is by just sharing with you my journey and my testimony. I know a lot of you have heard my testimony before, but I just want to use it this morning in a different context, maybe. Because you see, for me, looking back at my life, up to the age of 23, my life looked completely different than what it is today. And I think a lot of times we look at people and we see them a certain way or the way they are. And for us, it's, yeah, but they've always been like that. Sometimes it's difficult to realize that you were someone else before. In somewhere in your past, you were someone different. And that's why, in a sense, this morning, I just want to share, if I may say, who I was. And I want to do this for some of you, maybe, to give you hope. Because if God could touch my life, if He could change me, He can change anyone. And that's why I feel so important that when we've got testimonies, that we share it with other people. It's not something to be ashamed of where we came from, but it's not necessarily also something we brag about where we came from, if you understand what I'm saying. Because for me, looking back at my life up until the age of about 23, because I was 23 when I got saved. And like I said before, that my life was completely different. I remember back then at that stage, we just bought our first house. But this house had a lot of work that had to be done to the house. No building cupboards and stuff like that. And I am a carpenter. So for me, it's very easy to do that kind of stuff. But before we put in building cupboards into the house, what we did is we put in a braai, and the pool table, and the bar. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with braaiing, okay? And there's nothing wrong with playing pool. But I think it's about the kind of life it represents. That's maybe the different story. And for me back then, I mean, we didn't go to parties on weekends. Everyone came to us. The party were at our home every single weekend. And what I used to do is, I remember Fridays after work, I'll go to the liquor store. Then I'll buy my brandy and my beers and my stuff before I go home. And then it's like you buy for the weekend. But then Saturday morning, I had to go to the liquor store again because what I bought for the weekend was done by Saturday morning. And a lot of times, that's more or less the picture of what it was like on weekends. But then, I mean, we had like Wednesday evenings as well. It was like middle of the week. We called it small weekend, Wednesday evenings. And so I drank quite a lot. And I smoked my packet of 2-packet cigarettes a day. I cursed a lot. It's like every third, fourth word that came out of my mouth was a curse word. That's who I was. And you know, when I got saved, I am one of those people, when I got saved, that people in the town we were said, no, they'll believe it when they see it. They don't believe that I can get saved, if I call it that way. You know, the funny thing in all of that is, and you're probably going to laugh when I tell you this, but it's actually no joke. Through all of that, with that as my lifestyle, if people asked me, are you a Christian? My answer was always yes. And the scary thing is I believed it. Because you see, for me, Christianity was something I believe. It was not a lifestyle. It wasn't something that I do. So for me, I believed in God. I believed that, you know, as long as we acknowledge God and I believe in Him, then I'll be saved. But I wasn't following Him. And you see, the thing is, also back then, when I thought about this, yeah, but am I really saved and that kind of stuff? For me, it was simple. It's like, yeah, but I'm not a Satanist. So I didn't choose against God, I didn't choose the devil, so therefore I must be saved. But that's wrong. I choose not to follow Christ. I chose back then not to follow in His footsteps, in His examples. And by doing that, I actually chose against Him. I chose a different lifestyle. And I remember there was a time in my life during all of that where I got to a place thinking by myself, but I need to change my life. It can't carry on like this. And thinking back, I wonder what would have happened if I never came to that place of choosing a different path. But I remember one day praying, saying to God, okay, God, I just want to give my heart to You. And I just want to follow You and want everything to change and this kind of stuff. I was praying something like that. But I didn't go to a church. I didn't go to a cell group. So what happens, I made a choice to follow Christ. And I prayed the prayer and everything. But I didn't go to church. Didn't go to any cell group. Didn't go to any Christians and ask them to help me or anything like that. And you know, nothing changed. Everything stayed exactly the same. My life didn't change. I didn't feel any different. I wasn't in a place of peace after that. I still had the same struggles. Nothing changed. But then, some months later on, a client of mine came to the business that we've still got actually. But a client of mine came to us, and he started sharing with me basically just his relationship with Christ. He didn't come to me telling me your life is just messed up and you need to change this and you need to do nothing like that. Whenever I saw him, all he did is just share with me, yes, last night they were at this cell group. And then I'm like, okay, what's a cell group? Is it like a sect thing you've got going on, or what's a cell group? And then he told me, no, they came together and God gave them this word. And I think God gave them a word. How do you hear God's voice? What do you mean? So you're hearing voices, you say. Because for me, this stuff he was talking about, I was like, yes, I don't know any of this. I don't think you can have a life like that. The funny thing about it, because I think God also has a sense of humor, is who he used to draw me closer. Because this same guy, years before that, when he was unsaved, he was hitting on my wife. Now, back then, she wasn't my wife yet. Me and Anna-Marie were just going out. But he was hitting on her. So for me, the first time I saw him again, it's immediately, I know this guy. And in my heart didn't come up any love or grace or stuff like that. More like hate and other negative things came up in my heart. But God used that man to bring me to Christ. Because he just came, every time I saw him, he just shared what God meant to him. And after a month of hearing that, he asked me for the first time, do I want to commit my life to Christ? And I asked him, but what makes you think I'm not committed to Christ? Because yes, you can see all this stuff on the outside, but you don't know what's going on the inside of me. But it is, what's on the inside is what's coming out, isn't it? So me and my wife together, we gave our hearts to Christ, and we started to follow Christ. And thinking back, there was a time where I thought, but Lord, that first time when I cried out to you, where were you? That first time when I gave my heart to you and I asked you to please take me and to change my life, why didn't you? Because nothing changed there. And it's only very recently where I came to a place where I felt God said, but I did send someone. But you see, that guy coming to the factory, sharing the gospel with me, wasn't necessarily the first one that God sent. And in this, there's a message for all Christians. Because I do think that God sent us out to share him with other people, but we're not always obedient. I don't think we always go and do what God expects from us. But in the end, what I can testify is God did save me. And maybe his timing, maybe his plan was that it was supposed to be earlier. But I really believe the guy that came to me was not the first person that God has sent. He was only the obedient one. But through God's grace, he did save us. He did save me. And so our lives were in a very hectic place. And I remember when we got saved, that evening when we got saved, I knew, but if I give my heart to Christ now, stuff needs to change. I can't pray a prayer of saying, Lord, here I am, I'm giving my heart to you, and nothing changes. Everything just carry on the way it was before. Something needs to change. And I knew that was me and my lifestyle. I stopped cursing that evening by the grace of God. So that evening, that's one thing that changed right there. But I was still drinking. I was still smoking. I was still doing other stuff that was not according to the will of God. But right there started a journey with me, between me and God, of seeking him, asking him, begging him to help me to change and to get rid of some of these things in my life. And I remember I got saved. It was Monday, the 1st of October, the year 2000. And that Monday evening, I thought by myself, yes, but I think the Tuesday I probably thought this. Maybe God's timing was a little bit off here because it's my birthday the weekend. So it's like the party's already arranged and everything. Maybe next week would have been a little bit better. That's what I thought. And that whole week I was battling with this thing, but okay, how am I going to change before the weekend? How am I going to come to a place of not getting drunk Saturday evening? how am I going to do this? And I decided for myself back then, okay, what I'm going to do is, instead of drinking a bottle of brandy, I'm only going to drink like half a bottle of brandy. So then it's like good progress here, getting somewhere. But you remember, if you know, I remember it so, so clearly that next morning, the Sunday morning, I remember opening up my eyes in bed, Sunday morning. And this whole room is spinning. I wanted to put out one hand and one foot on the ground to get this bed not to turn anymore. But I crawled out of bed onto my knees. And I didn't know how to face God. Because I failed Him that previous evening. And I was praying that morning and basically just crying out saying, Lord, don't leave me. Lord, I messed up again. Don't leave me here. I can't stay in this place. I need to move from here. And I'm telling this to you because maybe some of you got some struggles. And it's maybe it's something in your life that you feel, but you're never going to get over this. But you can. I remember that following weekend, we had a bachelor's party of a friend of mine. And again, that whole week, I was talking to God about this bachelor's party. Trying to think, okay, how am I going to do this? How am I going to sort things out? How am I going to be in a place where I can be there and what I thought, you know, testify about Christ, but not the old me, the new me? Now, I remember that Saturday evening while being drunk, trying to sharing God with someone else, trying to lead someone else to Christ. And after that weekend, I realized, but for me to change in this area of my life, I need to move out of my circle of friends. I can't stay there and think my life will change. It won't. I need to move out of all that friendships. So not in a place of judging them, not in a out of a place of thinking I'm better than anyone else, nothing like that. Actually, just in the place of trying to save myself. I need to get out of that friendships, which I did. And through that and the grace of God, I was able to put that season of my life behind me. And yes, it still took me about a year before I came to a place where I stopped smoking. And I want to tell you this today, even like today, 17 years later, I still got my battles. I still got things I'm working through with God. I don't think we ever on this earth, I don't think we ever come to a place where we can say, I have arrived. Everything in my life is sorted out now. I think that will only happen once we get to heaven. And that's why still even today, we need each other. We need the church. We need other Christians to be around us. So that's my past. That's more or less what my life looked like. And in all of that, when we got saved, about a year after we got saved, we sold everything. We sold our house, our car, our business. We sold everything. And we started to work with people on the streets. And we did that full time for 3 years. Now, I'm not saying when you get saved, you need to sell everything. But I had to do it. Because with all this stuff going on in my life, there's certain things that God had to change in my life so that He can get me to a place where He can use me. And therefore, there's certain things I had to do, and one of them was letting go of everything else to come to a place where God can really work inside of me. And you know, in a sense, it's like I thought God was sending me to people on the streets because God wanted to use me there in that environment. But actually, God sent me to them because He used them to change me. But that's something I had to do. And in that three-year journey, we started to do a lot of things between different churches. I got involved in prison ministry. So we worked with maximum security guys in prison. In the town I was, we organized a Global Day of Prayer every year. There's a lot of projects that we did between a lot of different churches. So looking back, I can see that God really used us to build bridges between churches. He really used us back then in quite a big way. Not, and we didn't deserve it or anything like that, but He did. And I remember this one day, we were busy with a project between 12 of the congregations in the town, and God gave me a scripture, two verses. And these two verses changed my life forever. I want to share that with you this morning. It's Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now to me, today still, but even back then, this is a very hard scripture to receive. And the reason for this is my offer I gave God was everything I had. I sold everything. When I said I gave Him my life, it means everything that ever mattered to me. I gave up everything. That was my offer. And here I've got God coming to me, saying to me, listen, you know that gift that you've got for me? I want you to put it down there at the altar. You're here at the altar bringing this gift, but I want you to put it down. And I first want you to go and reconcile with someone out there and then come back and bring your offer. Now, I just thought, but Lord, my offer is quite huge. This is everything I've got. Look at what we're doing between churches and everything. And you're asking me to lay it down and to go sort out my relationship with someone. And I knew who he was talking about. He was talking about a family member of mine. Because me and that person did not have a relationship. We were not talking to each other. But here I've got God telling me, all of this you're bringing, just put it down there. I'm not interested in that. Go sort out that relationship. And this is very challenging. Because thinking back, okay, what happened? Why is there a problem between me and between this person? And the funny thing is not when I was unsaved that something happened. It's actually, it happened because I got saved. Because my new lifestyle really challenged that person. So I don't think I really did something to that person. But that person weren't talking to me. So what I did then is I phoned this person and said, listen, can't we just put behind us everything that happened? I just want to ask you for forgiveness. Forgive me for how I made you feel, or forgive me for what I did. I'm just asking your forgiveness so that we can move on and have a relationship again. And this person said to me, no. For a while now, you've been out of our lives, and I prefer it like that. You're just going to complicate things if you move back into our lives. So now I don't want to reconcile with you and have a relationship with you again. So I went back to God with this idea, okay, Lord, but now I've done what you expected from me. I went there and tried and sort things out. But the problem is the scripture didn't change. The scripture was still the same. And it says there, in verse 23, it says, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and they remember that your brother has something against you. The question is not, do you have something against someone else? That's not the question. The question is, does your brother have something against you? Because it's very easy for us to say, okay, Lord, but here I am, and yes, I've got this thing in my heart against that person, and now I choose to forgive. And I choose to let go. Now, me and you can carry on in this relationship. But what the scripture refers to is, it said, now, if there's someone out there that's got a problem with you, don't come to me. I do want to tell you, it's talking about my brother. So it doesn't mean everyone, if there's anyone out there in the world that's got a problem with you, you can't come to Christ. It's not what it's saying. But if you've got a brother, referring to someone else in Christ, so whether it's someone from this congregation or a different congregation, If there's someone else in Christ that has got a problem with you, what God expects from us is to sort it out. Because we can only be one and become one if we sort out these issues in relationships. So what I did is, after talking to God about this, I found that person again. And again, I asked that person for forgiveness. But this time, I really begged that person. Because what I realized here at this stage is, but my relationship with God is being affected by this relationship. So I really begged that person for forgiveness and asked that person to please forgive me so that we can restore this relationship. And that person told me, to me, you are dead. You're not alive in our lives anymore, and I prefer to keep it like that. And I went back to God. And I said to God, but there's nothing I can do to change this. I've tried everything. I'm willing to do anything, say anything, but there's nothing I can do to change this. And I think maybe that's the point with a scripture like this, where God wants to bring us to a place where I beg God to step into that person's life, to touch that person and to change something in that person's life so that we can be reconciled. It took him 3 days. 3 days after this prayer, that person got saved. And that person found me and said, sorry. Yes, let's work out this relationship. 3 days. And I think so often we've got all kinds of excuses of, yeah, but Lord, you know, I don't have a problem with that person. They must just work it out and all that kind of stuff. But if we realize that our relationship with God is influenced by this kind of relationships with other people, I think that changes everything. I think that brings us to a place where we realize, but it's not about whether we need those people in our lives or anything like that. The fact is God wants them in His life. And a lot of times we are the ones standing between God and between them for them to come to that place of relationship. And thinking about this and looking at this, what I just really realized is, the question I asked is, why would God say something like this? Why would God say, but don't bring your offer, first go sort out that relationship and then come back? And the answer simply is because God is a relational God. That's what He wants, is a relationship with us and the people around us. And a lot of times, me and you are the channel through which God wants to work to touch the people around us. So if we walk around with things in our hearts against other people, if we walk around with other Christians out there that's got problems with us, our relationship with God can't be what it's supposed to be, and their relationship with God can't be what it's supposed to be. So in a sense, it's almost like God is forcing us to a place where we need to look at relationships around us. So if we talk about reconciliation, I'm not only talking about coming to a place where we are being reconciled with God. I'm also talking about how we are being reconciled with the people around us. Because you see, actually, the way it works is in being reconciled with people around us, we are being reconciled with God. So if you're asking yourself this question this morning, okay, so my relationship with Christ, what does it look like? Do I have a good relationship with Christ? All you need to do is look at the relationships around you. And you'll have the answer to that. But that's not what we want to hear. I think it's easier for us to say, but you know, God is so full of love and so full of grace. And I can have this great relationship with Him, although I don't have the good relationship with people around me. But you know, He actually expects from you that the same love, the same grace, that he's got for you, that you will have that for the people around you. Not anything different. It's supposed to be exactly the same. And if we have that same grace and that same love for the people around us, it becomes easier to forgive. It becomes easier to let go. And it becomes easier to go to people and sort out relationships. Now, I'm not saying this morning that you can't have a relationship with God if you've got bad relationships around you. That's not what I'm saying. Remember in my case, when I came to Christ with all my bad relationships, he received me just the way I was. I didn't have to sort out my life and get everything in place and then he received me. He received me just the way I was. But there came a time and a place where he, in a sense, drew a line and said, okay, but hang on. Before we continue this relationship, can we talk about this? Now we need to work on this before this can continue. And I had to work that through with God and with that other person to come to a place where my relationship with God could continue. And I think it's very important to realize it this morning, because otherwise we're going to feel, but okay, but I know there's that person. So now you're telling me I can't have a relationship with God. Now what I'm saying is, to improve your relationship with God, you need to go sort out that relationship. And I also think that in this journey that we've got with Christ, in the way we're going, God will continue to remind us even of people or incidents that we need to sort out. So it's very easy today when you are saved and you got a quarrel with someone, in that place it's very easy to realize, okay, but listen, I can't allow this to grow to a place where we don't have a relationship anymore. That's the easy part. Saying, okay, so if we've got a problem, listen, we need to sort this out. Because Christ expects this from us. We need to sit down, we need to talk this through, we need to forgive each other, but we need to sort this out. Because otherwise it's going to influence, for both of us, it's going to influence our relationship with Christ. That's the easy part. The difficult part is looking back. Realizing, but maybe there's places in the past that things we need to sort out. And I don't think that God is pulling us back into our past, where we should go seek and look, where is there people that we can sort out relationships? Because the more I do that, the more my relationship with Christ is going to improve. I simply think it's a prayer of saying, Lord, okay, here I am, Lord. What do you expect from me? Is there someone you want me to go to and sort things out? And why it talks about if your brother has something against you is because for both parties, in this context, they're both following Christ. Both of them are in a place where they need to work on this relationship, whether they want to or not. But if it's someone that's still in the world, it's a different story. So God is not telling us that just go look for people that don't like you. He'll guide us to people where we need to sort out relationships. And then I want to bring this a little bit closer to home, if I may put it like that. And I want to turn to 1 Peter 3, verse 1 to 7. And it started off by saying, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of your hair and the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. So what God is actually saying there is your beauty lies on the inside. So it's not saying you can't wear jewelry and stuff. It's just saying that it's not about what you wear. It's not about how you did your hair or that kind of stuff. It's all about what's going on the inside of you. Verse 5, for this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abram, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Verse 7 for the men. So ladies, you had 6 verses. We've got 1. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. And this is the difficult part. So that your prayers may not be hindered. And I think all men like those verses of, the guys, don't shoot me afterwards, but I think all the guys, we like that verses where he talks about now wives must submit to their wives and all that kind of stuff. And I think a lot of guys use it completely the wrong way to try and rule over their wives. But this last verse, what it actually, where God, where Peter is using the word of God, turning it towards us, he's saying to us, live with your wives in an understanding way. Now, sorry, girls, but ladies, but for that, we really need the grace of God as already. Just to live in an understanding way, but showing honor to the woman. So what is God, what God is telling us here in this verse, although it's only one verse, is something very difficult. He's telling us that we should live in an understanding way and we should honor our wives. Now the question is, okay, so what if I don't honor my wife so that your prayers may not be hindered? You realize what this is saying? Not much different than that verse that we just read in Matthew, actually. Just bringing it closer to home. What this verse is saying is, if you don't honor your wife, if you don't live in a understanding way with your wife, your prayers will be hindered. So it's not, like I said before, is our relationship with the people around us affects the relationship that we've got with God. But here I want to step it up a little bit by saying, you know, the relationship we have with people around us, our wives, for instance, can determine your relationship with God. Because if your prayers are hindered, it means you're praying and God is not going to answer you. The communication between you and God is gone. This is a very hard word. God is bringing us to a place where he's saying, listen, your relationship between you and your wife, or your relationship between you and your brothers, is very important. We're not going to have relationship if you don't have relationship with the people around you. And I think too often, we think, but as long as I've got my special time with God, I think too often we think, but as long as I make sure that I spend the hour with God in the morning and in the evening, and I pray and I fast and I read my Bible, and I can step out there and say, Lord, yes, I had this awesome time with God. But if there's a breach in the relationship between you and the people around you, you're fooling yourself. Because then that relationship can't be there. That's what Scripture says. So God is bringing us to a place where he's saying, to have relationship with me, you need to work on the relationships around you. So yes, guys, maybe sometime you and your wife, you've got this fight going. And I'm not going to make excuses here for why and all that kind of stuff, but that happens. But what God is saying is, okay, you've got a disagreement, sort it out. In a respectful matter, of manner. So he's not saying, no, we can't disagree and stuff like that. What he's saying is, when we talk, when we sort things out, make sure to respect one another. To do it in that kind of fashion. So this morning, Adrian, you can come to the front. And like I said, I know this is really a very challenging word. Because I think a lot of times we like to over-spiritualize things, if I may put it that way. Where we've got all the spiritual answers about things, but we ignore the basics. Now for God, when we talk about relationship, I can see He's a relational God. I mean, thinking back all those years, coming to the altar with everything I had, giving up everything. In a sense, I felt, but you know, I've got like, back then, I thought maybe I've got like the special place before God. Look, I mean, just look at everything we did. And God in a moment coming, saying, no, just put all of that down. I'm not interested in that. Can we talk about relationships? And I'm like, Lord, but you know what you mean to me? Because I mean, look at everything I let go of. And God is in this place of saying, no, I'm not talking about this. I'm glorified if I can see myself through you in the relationships around you. Then I'm glorified. Husbands. God is saying He's glorified when He look at you and if you handle your wife the way that He would have. Scripture actually tells us that we should do it in the same manner that He treated the church or the bride. And Jesus died for His bride. He died for us. So God is asking us to do the same. And yes, maybe there is that place where we feel, but okay, but then it means we need to die like daily. Yes, we need to die daily so that Christ can live through us. Because we're not in a place where we can say, but I deserve this and I deserve that. And yes, it worked both ways. Even in the marriage, ladies, there's some stuff that God expects from you. But also to the guys, is some stuff God expects from you. But the question I want to ask you this morning, and we're talking about reconciliation. And we can talk about reconciliation with Christ. And the first part of reconciling with Christ is to come to that place where I did years ago. Is to come to that place where you choose to follow God. Where you choose to follow Christ. The moment we do that, that reconciliation process starts right there, where we step into relationship with Him. But maybe secondly, this morning you're sitting here and you say, but I've got this relationship with God. I gave my heart to Christ many years ago. But there's a lot of issues between me and other Christian brothers or sisters. And then again, we're at a place this morning where you can reconcile with Christ by sorting out that relationships. Because you see, you first need to reconcile with other people to help you to reconcile with Christ. And you don't have to do it on your own. When I got to that place with that family member of mine, that's not something I went out and I sorted out and I did it on my own. It's not. Remember, every time before I found that person, I spoke to God. And I begged God to help me. And through all of that, He was there. He was with me all the way. He guided me and He helped me. Till I got to that place where I said, Lord, I can't do anything else. I've done everything You expected from me, but now I'm handing that person over to You. And then God answered that prayer. So this morning I want to ask you, are you in a place maybe where you need to reconcile? Whether with God or with other people. And I'm not going to call you to the front immediately and make it all awkward for you. I'm just going to pray and I want to ask all of us that we'll all just close our eyes and that we can just pray together. And afterwards, if you feel but you need to talk to someone or you've got a question or you want someone just to pray with you, then you can come to the front while the other people go to the back for coffee and tea, and then we can pray together. So Father, thank You, Lord, for this morning. Thank You, Father, for bringing us to a place of reconciliation. Thank You, Father, for Your Son, Jesus, who made everything possible. Because, Father, we realize that without Jesus, it's impossible for us to have a relationship with you. So we just want to thank you, Father, for your Son, for Jesus. And Father, maybe this morning there's people sitting here that's in a place where they know, but they've got a choice to make to follow you. And Father, let that people right now in this moment just experience hope. Just experience peace. That you are there to receive them just the way they are. There's nothing they have to go sort out before coming to you. You receive them the way they are this morning. But they need to choose. They need to choose to follow you. And that, Father, isn't something that we do in secret. That's something we need to do in the open. Where we turn to other believers and tell other believers, help us, here I am. Giving my heart to Christ, help me. Help me to get closer to Christ. And secondly, Father, maybe this morning there's people sitting here with relationships around them that needs restoration. Lord, we don't have all the answers. I think a lot of times in a lot of places things went wrong. And there's bad relationships. But Father, help us to look at these things in a godly way. Help us to bring restoration, to bring reconciliation between us and other people, so that you can be glorified more and more through our lives. Thank you, Father, just for bringing us together this morning to your house, for reconciling us with each other in your presence. And Father, as we go out of this building today, let us go out and shine your light wherever we go. Let we experience you, that you are with us every step that we take. And help us, Father, to share your goodness of who you are and what you mean to each of us. Allow us to share that with other people so that they can also come to a place of being reconciled with you through our testimonies. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey guys, there's coffee and tea in the